Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Robert Dillenschneider is our guest. Bob is the founder of a corporate strategic counseling and public relations firm called the Dillenschneider Group. He's the author of a number of books, including The Critical 14 Years of Your Professional Life, Moses CEO, which was one of my favorite books in the world, and his new book, 50-plus Critical Career Decisions for the Rest of Your Life. Bob Dillenschneider, welcome back.
Jim, thanks to be back, and Happy New Year to you and everybody on the air.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you for joining us again. It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show. Bob, I know the last time you were here, we talked about your book, 50-plus, and what I'd like to do today is I'd like to talk about that some more, some of your thoughts on those of us who have had a birthday that rhymes with nifty, and I'd like to also blend in some of the things that you've talked about in your trend forecasting report that you put out every year. This is your 12th edition that you've got out, and it's a fascinating document. Can we do that?
Sure. We just issued the trend report on Monday, so it's really timely, and we've had a lot of response already, including from the White House, so I'm happy to do
really?
That.
What did the White House have to say?
Well, they're very interested in some of the comments we made, particularly about the Saudis and the Russians and the Chinese, and manufactured in the United States as well as the economy, so it's a broad series of comments.
Well, let's talk about some of those things. What are you looking in general? What do you think about 2003 in terms of the global situation?
Well, I think 2003 is going to be a very rocky year, and we end the trend report with a quote. I don't know if you recall this, but the quote is: "Standing on the front edge of history can be disconcerting, and this year feels like such a point in time. There's a momentousness in the air. We're hanging and waiting. The tectonic plates of civilization have been storing up potential energy. In such instances, even the greatest humans don't know what's coming. We're all a little bit uneasy about what's coming."
Yeah, well said, Bob. And, you know, Bob, one of the things that I proposed recently, in fact, we did a show on it yesterday. I've been thinking about George Bush and the position he's in. Not George Bush the man, but George Bush the president.
Right.
In the position that he's in right now. And at first, I'm just thinking about the president. And I'm thinking about what kind of a weight anybody who is in that office at this moment in history must have.
It's got to be huge. And every day the man is dealing with the economy. He's dealing with Iraq. Yesterday he dealt with discrimination in the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
It's just incredible what's going on. It's like a catcher in a baseball game taking 100-mile-an-hour pitches every few seconds.
Exactly, and a man stealing home from third.
That's right.
And yeah, exactly. And now when you talk about the man, you gotta, you know, I don't know. Even if you don't, I got to be thinking that even the people who don't agree with his politics, who completely disagree with him, the Democrats, for example, they got to be building a little bit more admiration for him every day.
I think about the alternative to Bush, Jim, and the alternatives aren't very good. And Bush is a pretty positive leader. We might not agree with every single thing that happens, but at least he's out there leading, and we have a definite sense of what's happening. In many ways, he reminds me of Ronald Reagan, who I think will be judged one of the greatest presidents of our time.
I agree with that, but one of the things I think is that George Bush is in a position that's much more unique than Ronald Reagan's. Ronald Reagan's was unique from the standpoint of that he had an opportunity to help bring the end of Soviet Union and rid communism, the world of communism, to a large degree, and he stepped up to that plate. But Bush is in a more unique position because he's the only superpower left. He represents, I should say.
Bush has an opportunity to sustain the position of the United States in the world for the next several decades. That's his big opportunity, in my opinion.
I agree with you. What about some of the things that are going on in the Middle East? Are you convinced that we're going to war with Iraq?
I think there's no question. We've got so many material and so much material and so many people over there. It's just really a matter of time and getting people behind us around the world so that we're not alone out there. There are a lot of people backing away from it, including, by the way, in this country. And I don't want to go to war. Nobody really wants to go to war. But this is a guy over there who has nuclear weapons and radiological weapons, bacteriological weapons, and he wants to kill us. And we have to take him out before he takes us out. It's mm-hmm. that simple.
Well, I predicted, my big prediction this year in my predictions, Bob, was that we actually would not go to war with Iraq, that we would actually, we'll take him out. He'll be gone. But that we won't actually have to go to war, that will be handled one way or another before we actually have to go in there and fight street by street, and we'll just have to see how that works out. Stand by, Bob Dylan Snyder. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 22. We'll be right back after these messages. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, will be with us to talk to us about the most recent Kiplinger letter. After that, in our next show, Bill Hubbert will be joining us. He's our human resources expert. And Jan Yeager and Bill Brandt, we got a lot more folks coming up, and they're going to have some great things to talk to you about. Like our good friend, Robert Dillenschneider, the author of 50 Plus. Bob, this your new book is outstanding. As someone who has had the birthday that rhymes with nifty, I appreciate this book, and I want you to tell us where it's available.
Jim, I appreciate that. The book is available on Amazon right now. It's sold out of bookstores.
Wow.
The first printing has been sold out. I'm a little bit depressed because a lot of my friends can't get books until we get back on the...
Congratulations.
But it's on Amazon right now. That's about the only place to get it.
Wow. Well, that's great. Congratulations. Well, folks, as you've heard me say, Bob has written a number of books, and they've all been successful, and this is an important book. And if you're... You know, this. If you're even approaching the birthday that rhymes with nifty, you might want to check this one out. It's very important. What do you see as the biggest challenge in the year 2003 for those of us who have had or are about to have a birthday that rhymes with nifty?
I think the biggest challenge is looking within ourselves and saying to ourselves, we can make a bigger contribution in the future. We're not going downhill. Our life is not over, and we can do something now that really helps the country and our families and ourselves move ahead. That's a big mouthful, but I think it's a big challenge, and I think it's a personal challenge for every single person that is in the country.
Bob, one of the phenomena that I've observed over the years is something that I still say that the world we live in right now, the marketplace that we live in right now, began being shaped significantly in approximately 1975.
I think that's
because,
right.
Because we went through a really tough recession. We had the housing market went straight down. We had the oil embargo and all that stuff. And companies started laying off. Companies started talking about early retirement. We've gone through 25 years of people retiring in their late 40s and early 50s. And they just wandered off into the sunset. That's completely turning around right now. I think that's the point that you're making in your book, is that in the 21st century, those of us who are over the half-century mark, we're going to be contributing. We're not going to be retiring. We're going to be finding new things to do, aren't we?
Those people that are over 50 have a lot to contribute. There's a lot of institutional memory out there. There's a lot of know-how, and they're going to get back into the workplace and really change things. That's what's going to happen.
And I'll tell you what, Bob, I'm proposing that part of the reason why we've got some problems in the marketplace right now is because beginning in 1975, we started getting rid of a lot of the institutional memory that we had.
That's right. Companies kept cutting costs and stripping people out and giving people early retirements.
They'd lay off or find a way to get rid of the old guys because they were making the most money.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. But the old guys are the guys that know what to do, and so
that's
they're coming
exactly
back
right.
now with a vengeance.
That's where the memories are. Exactly. That's where the memories are, and I think, Bob, that's another reason why I say that the 21st century is going to be the century of the entrepreneur, because more and more people who are in the over the half century mark, they're not going to go looking for a corporate job. They're going to go carving out their own stake in the marketplace.
I think the biggest development of business in the 21st century is going to be small businesses. People operating on their own or with 10 or 15 people or under 30 people, that's where the business and growth is going to come from.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that too, Bob, because the big companies are now recognizing that.
That's right. In fact, the big companies are all organizing themselves along the lines of small business.
That's exactly right.
They've all started to figure it out.
It's amazing. And you know what, Bob? I'm going to say that I'm not saying this was a good thing, but 911 has contributed to the to advancing that.
No question about it. 911 has created a lot of uncertainty, but 911 has also re-energized the people. Osama bin Laden did exactly the wrong thing. He tried to take our will and our spirit away, and what he did was he kindled our spirit and our will, and he emboldened us to move forward.
Don't you think that's the biggest thing that, that people in other parts of the world misunderstand about us?
Totally. They don't understand that we've all said, wait a second, we ought to pull our socks up and get moving here. And that's what's going on right now in this country, all over the country. And I think the rest of the world has not yet figured it out.
Back to the 911 thing, when I was talking about that, what I was getting at was the teleworking aspect of it. You know, when they lost, what was it, 500,000 people were displaced in southern Manhattan, in South Manhattan, downtown Manhattan, I guess I should say, those people started working from home. And it's my understanding, Bob, you're right there in Midtown, you'd know more than me. It's my understanding a lot of those people are saying, hey, I'm not coming back.
A lot of people have they stayed at home. They've figured out how to make it work from home.
Yeah.
They've used technology, and we've got really a totally different business workplace today than we had, say, 3 or 4 years ago.
It's hard to imagine a blessing from 911, but I will tell you, I will say it this way, teleworking and the century of the entrepreneur got a push when we were attacked on September the 11th, 2001.
Yeah, if we can thank Osama bin Laden for anything, I think we can thank him for that.
Well, yeah, but I just that's the reason I called it a push. I don't want to make it sound like a blessing, but it did. I'll never forget. I think I may have said this before, Bob, that they interviewed a fire chief a couple of months after the attack, and somebody said to him, "Do you think that they should rebuild those towers?" And he said, "Who would occupy them?"
Right.
And I thought that was a very important statement to make, very important observation to make. And but it's interesting to see your observations about the new century with regard to those of us who are over the half century mark. And it's all found in Bob's book, by the way, folks, 50 plus, and that's 50 plus critical career decisions for the rest of your life. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get some more thoughts from our good friend Robert L. Dillenschneider. And that's spelled D-I-L-E-N. S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R. If you're typing that into the online search engines, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Robert Dillenschneider is our guest. Bob is our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Don't forget his new book is called 50 Plus. The good news is it's here. The bad news is it's sold out in the bookstores for a little while, but just keep checking on it. And as he said, you can order it from Amazon, and if they don't have it, they'll send you when the first copy that comes out. Bob, let's talk about the U.S. economy. I want to get your thoughts on where you think the U.S. economy is going.
Well, I think we're going to have a little bit of a rocky period right now. You saw the layoffs from Kmart yesterday, and we've had shakeups in a number of major companies. But I think around the third quarter, we're going to start seeing the U.S. economy turn up. Some real positive things have happened. The Ford Motor Company is doubling its earnings estimate. A number of positive things have happened out there. So I'm optimistic about the long-term future. I don't think we'll be back to a go-go period of the 1990s where we had the big run-up in equities, but
We don't need to get back to that.
We don't need to do it. This very morning, there's a talk being given here in New York about the tech sector. And the implication of the talk is going to be the tech sector is going to ignite in the middle of the year.
That's great. Well, you know, all of my contacts in the tech sector have said that same thing. So I'm glad to hear you confirming that.
It's really going to move, in my opinion. It's the next big thing.
It needs to. But we've got some challenges. One of the challenges we have here in America, and you point this out in your trends letter, Bob, and that's that a lot of the people that are unemployed right now are not unemployed because their company, you know, downsized. They're unemployed because the job that they used to do doesn't exist here anymore.
That's right. All those jobs have gone abroad. Many of them have gone to China, oddly enough. China's weapon is not nuclear power.
No.
Not, biological weapons. China's weapon is manufactured.
That's right.
They intend to be the biggest manufacturer in the world.
Well, they're becoming that very quickly, and that's a whole other. We could do an hour on China, but the thing about it is, I think one of the biggest crises we have in the United States is what to do with the people who aren't trained for the new economy.
There's got to be a lot of retraining out there, and I think you're going to find companies like Cisco and IBM and Verizon and other big tech companies involving themselves in that retraining. There's a lot of opportunity, especially for older people right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I really would like to see, if the government wants to get involved in anything, and if they really want to help small businesses, would be an area that they could get involved in, would be to help us find people who are intelligent, they're just not experienced in the new economy, and give them the training that they need so we can redirect those people. Investing in human beings is the best money we could spend.
It would be a major thing. When Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower were in the White House, they started a program called the Dollar a Year Program, which was bringing back top people, top talent into the government
right.
for a dollar a year. If we could find some people who would stimulate the kind of program you just described, retraining people for a buck a year, that would make a lot of sense.
That's an investment that we need to make, and I'm afraid small business didn't get as much in this last deal as I hoped we would, because most small business owners don't need to write off $75,000 worth of expenses with the capital items.
That's right, and that's one of the benefits of having a small business, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. But let's go back. We've got only about a minute and a half. I do want to touch on China just a little bit. I have been predicting that China is going to be an economic tsunami that's going to wash over a lot of their own neighbors and is going to continue to be more and more of a challenge for us if we don't find a way to make them our partner.
We have to do that. China really cannot be denied. It's got the world's deepest and cheapest pool of manufacturing labor. Its population is 1.3 billion. Nearly 700 million people mm-hmm. live on farms. It's extraordinary.
And unlike the Japanese, the Europeans, and the Russians, the Chinese are entrepreneurial, aren't they?
Very entrepreneurial, and there's a big gap. The average U.S. household income is around $35,000 or $40,000 a year. In China, it's $285 a year.
Uh-huh.
So there's a big gap to make up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Chinese are going to do it.
What is going to be the big surprise in 2003? What's going to happen in 2003 that you think will shock everybody, Bob?
I think Russia will shock everybody. That's number one. I think it's going to reemerge, and it'll be a world power, and we'll have to contend with it again.
And we'll see that evidence of that in 2003?
I think so. I think Saddam Hussein will probably leave Baghdad and go to some other country. That'll happen.
Will we have normalization between North Korea and anybody else?
I don't know about North Korea, but I think that Iran will change, and Iran will emerge as the model Muslim state.
Yeah.
We're helping that along right now.
I think so, too, and I think that's the reason the troops are over there, is to stabilize that region so that what you just said can happen, not to invade.
I think that's a very insightful point. I think that's exactly the reason what's going on right now.
So, folks, when you see the troops over there, don't think that they're there for war. Don't worry that we've deployed them. We've got to use them. We're going to use them, but maybe not to fight.
Yeah, that'd be great if it happened.
Yeah. Bob Dylan Schneider, thank you for being here.
Jim, thank you very much.
It's always
really
a pleasure. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. Happy New Year.
Robert Dylan Schneider, ladies and gentlemen, the author of 50 Plus. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.